You're tuning on Gordon GD's channel. Please stand by.
Hi, it's Gordon here again. I hope you're doing fine. Today I wish to talk about an issue that is both personal and political, and I mean political in the true sense of the word. The issue I wish to talk about is the secret vote. Over here in Malta we'll be holding the general elections in a few days' time now, and as a Maltese citizen who is over 18 and eligible to vote, I am to cast my vote on that day, on March 9th, if I'm still around, that is. But unlike other Maltese citizens, or unlike most of Maltese citizens who will be voting that day, I am forced to reveal my vote to third parties. At this point you might ask yourself, why not? Why can't I vote in secret, or why do I have to reveal my vote to third parties? The simple fact is that the current system of voting, or the ballot paper, isn't accessible to me as a visually impaired person. Therefore, as things stand right now, I have to vote in front of what is known as an electoral commission, which is composed of people appointed by the commission itself, but also from members coming from the respective parties contesting the elections. In spite of the fact that the people making part of the Electoral Commission are bound by law to keep my vote a secret, everyone knows human nature, and these are, some of them at least, are also party officials. So I suspect I may be a bit cynical of human nature, but we all know where power and greed for power might lead people in doing. Apart from that, the fact that I have to reveal my vote to third parties means that I'm being treated unequally, and my right to secrecy is being denied, which is in breach of really my civil liberties. Of course, I acknowledge that there have been solutions, at least they serve part of the disabled population, such as the tactile tablet, which is used by blind people if they request it. However, while the ballot paper in the tablet itself has made it possible for some blind people, in fact not all blind people, to vote in secret, it's not a system which solves all the problems, and certainly it doesn't solve the problem faced by other disabled people who may, for example, not be able to use their hands. And in my case, I cannot really use the tablet myself, so I'm part of that group which is excluded from participating in the process. Not because I am unable to vote, but because the means by which I have to vote are inadequate and do not accommodate my needs. Having said that, I hope that with Malta having ratified UN Convention Rights of Persons with Disabilities, disabled people who have been denied the right to vote in secret for so long will be able to benefit from this right as Article 29 of the UNCRPD recommends governments to make changes which will effectively make it possible for me and people, disabled people in my situation and other people who may have problems with the current system to be able to vote independently and in secret. I hope that politicians in Malta actually implement the recommendations found in the UNCRPD Article 29, because it would mean that for the first time in history, disabled people coming from all the impairment groups are really given an equal right to vote, and that includes the right to vote in secret. It's all a matter of equality. It's all a matter of treating us like any other Maltese citizen. For as things stand right now, we are indeed second-class citizens. I recognize the fact that some recommendations found in Article 29 of the UN Convention may be problematic for politicians, while they may be ready to accept, considering information technology or technological solutions to make it possible for disabled people who cannot vote in secret at the moment to vote. For disabled people to vote, it will be more problematic when it comes to implementing the other recommendation of having a trusted friend. I recognize the fact that the trusted friend, which was functioning in Malta many years ago, did lead to abuse and having votes being taken up unfairly, of buying votes basically. I think that the time has come for politicians to move on and become more trustworthy, or really invest in making this a reality, because of course technological solutions may not cater for every disabled person, and they might need to consider the trusted friend. Finally, we should keep in mind that there are particular impairment groups who are denied not just the right to a secret vote, but to a vote altogether. Here I'm talking about people who have intellectual impairments, who are denied the right to vote altogether for their whole life without their situation assessed. And the second group are people who have particular mental health conditions, who are deemed incompetent in taking decisions, and so they are also denied the right to a vote. Of course, in some situations, in the second group, in the case of people with mental health issues, their situation is reassessed, and in the future they are provided with the right to vote independently and in secret. I wish to end this episode by appealing to politicians in Malta in particular to keep in mind that if we want our country really to be equal to people like me who are disabled, we must also give them the right to a secret vote. We want to have the right to a secret vote, and that will be a true measure of how much we are included, because the vote itself is the sure way which we can have a say in the running of our country. And in order to do so, I think we must see political will and cooperation between the parties. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you're interested to learn more about this issue of secret voting, I'm sharing an audio version of the blog entry I recently wrote on my blog. Enjoy and feel free to contact me.
This entry is being brought to you as an audio transmission from Gordon's D-Zone.
Title: A Right to Secrecy Denied, Disabled People and the Secret Vote. Photo of a statue of a Lady Justice who wears a blindfold. Below the image, a caption with the words, "Excuse me, Miss Justice, could you kindly tell me how you're voting? No secret vote for you, you're blind, you see." Entry content: a political conundrum? I hesitate to write about political issues for a number of reasons. One is, of course, that anything I say risks being interpreted politically. Secondly, the fact that, as a visually impaired person, I am forced to vote in front of what is called an electoral commission. One might say that my vote is an open secret, since I have to reveal my vote to third parties. A secret denied. Granted, the members forming part of every electoral commission in each locality is bound by law to keep my vote confidential. However, a number of appointed commissioners are also appointed party officials and have political interests. Indeed, the possibility that this knowledge is either exploited for political ends or else used against me in any way in the future are a real cause of concern. In addition, the fact that some disabled people have to vote with the assistance of an electoral commission may have more serious implications, especially in more closely knit communities such as those found in Gozo. Apart from that, by being denied the right to a secret vote, I'm also being denied one of my fundamental civil liberties and human rights. On the other hand, this state of inequalities that still exist in Malta, at least, may change with Malta's ratification of the UN Convention Rights of Persons with Disabilities, UNCRPD, since Article 29 of the same convention includes the right to participate in public and political life. In fact, the article affirms that all disabled people, whatever their impairment, should have access not only to a vote, but to a secret vote. The UNCRPD in practice. At this point, it's important to explain what the functions of the UNCRPD are. First, the UNCRPD is not creating any new rights for disabled people. Rather, the UNCRPD is a document produced after a series of discussions between various stakeholders involved in the area of disability, including disabled people and their representative organizations, where parties agreed that disabled people were denied the enjoyment of their human rights because society failed to keep their needs into account when it came to providing access to these rights. Secondly, since the UNCRPD goes into practical details on how states can enable disabled people to benefit from their rights, the recommended action to ensure equality of access to these rights will, indirectly, benefit other groups in society who may be excluded from accessing their human rights because of other factors other than impairment. Indeed, this isn't just something we, disabled people, will benefit from. Accessible voting means equality for all. True, all of us who are blind or have a visual impairment, those of us who due to a physical impairment can't use our hands or have a print disability are bound to benefit. But this right will also provide people who cannot read or write, for example, with the chance to vote in secret. Regrettably, I am also aware that certain disabled people, including people with an intellectual impairment or those with mental health conditions, are often denied the right to vote altogether without much question, an injustice that also needs to be addressed. As for me, I admit that I feel anxious when it gets to the voting season. The fact is, as things stand, I know that I must reveal my political affiliations once again to another group of perfect strangers. Trustworthy, perhaps, but still strangers. While I don't find any problem with sharing my political views with those I trust the most, I'm not that comfortable with revealing my political preferences to others, whoever they may be. The fact that most citizens can vote in secret means that, come election time, I am being treated unequally to other citizens who are able to make use of the ballot paper. Moreover, as explained already, I fear that, by disclosing my vote to appointed party officials, I risk suffering discrimination on the basis of my political opinions. Having said that, any political beliefs I might have doesn't mean I think of disability in terms of party politics. Indeed, I firmly believe that disability is an issue that shouldn't be politicized in the sense that disability should never become victim to partisan political exigencies. Indeed, not only would it be irresponsible of me, as someone active in public life, to address disability as a matter of party politics, but the truth of the matter is that disability is one concern that cuts across every political or social affiliations. It affects, in one way, us as we grow old. It affects our children, our loved ones, and all our families. Considering alternative solutions. I acknowledge that local governments have responded to the problems faced by blind people by following up on discussions with organizations representing the interests of blind or visually impaired people, such as through the introduction of the Braille ballot paper. However, considering this option only improves the situation for a few Maltese blind people who have learned Braille. In addition, this option will do nothing to improve the situation of all Maltese disabled people of voting age. While I understand that given our turbulent political history as a nation, politicians from all sides might be reluctant to consider alternative ways by which disabled people, in particular, can vote, such as using technological solutions or the assistance of a trusted person, with the latter alternative being perhaps the most controversial in Malta. Yet, politicians should recognize the fact that denying us the right to a secret vote also means that we remain less than second-class citizens, as whenever we say or write something, we know that other people actually know how we voted in the last election. Hopes for the future. I end this article with hope. Hope that with Malta's ratification of the UNCRPD, politicians of all political persuasions will give us our right to vote in secret. I hope that, just for once, politicians will agree that we can no longer be treated as political tokens used to increase votes and popularity. To recognize that the vote is truly an important document which enables us to have a say in the running of our country. Indeed, only when we're able to cast our vote on an equal level to others can we say that we're moving to a position of equality. Background and commentary. Malta, a brief political history lesson. Malta is an island state located in the Mediterranean Sea between the north of Africa and the south of Italy, a few kilometers below Sicily. The total population of Malta stands at about 400,000 people. most of the population reports to be Roman Catholic, although, as Malta has become less insular than in the past, many aspects of society have become more secular. Having said that, the church still plays an influence on many aspects of Maltese society. Malta has been, for most of its history, ruled by foreign powers which left various influences on Maltese culture, language and religion. Up to 1964, Malta was still under British rule, from which Malta inherited its political system. In fact, since the independence of 1964, party politics have been dominated by two main political parties, each leaning either to the center-left, Partit Laborista, the Labour Party, or center-right, Partit Naționalista, the Nationalist Party. However, Malta's accession in the European Union could help more voters to elect members of other parties who deviate from traditional politics and, thus, introduce much-needed political reform. Historically, voters have generally chosen candidates coming from the two main political parties, and while there have been parties which were formed following internal divisions, these didn't last for long. However, recent years have seen the foundation of a new party based on a Green Party politics agenda, Alternativa Democratica, the Democratic Alternative, emphasizing issues related to the environment, equal rights and freedom of expression. Other important factors which may result in structural reform in Parliament through the election of members belonging to third or more parties include the challenges posed by the global economic recession, the issue of illegal immigration and a general disenchantment with ways in which traditional parties engage in politics. Into Malta, the voting system by which blind or visually impaired person could ask to vote with the assistance of a person of his or her choosing, or the trusted friend, is still very controversial, as when it was allowed in Malta, this system was abused. Elections and eligibility to vote. The upcoming elections for 2013 are planned to be held on March 9, 2013. Registered voters over the age of 18 are eligible to vote unless they are not serving a prison sentence, have a particular mental health condition deemed to impair their ability to take decisions, or people who have been assessed as having an intellectual impairment. Moreover, blind people who can't confidently use the Braille ballot paper, or those with a visual impairment, people who can't use their hands or, in any way, cannot fill in the ballot paper using the cheap pencils provided will need to vote in front of an electoral commission. Related content. Zaireb, M. 2013, Blind People Denied the Right to Secret Vote. The Times of Malta, January 19, 2013. Available from, last accessed, February 21, 2013. You can follow me on Twitter at GordonGT, t_small.jpg.png, reference Cardona, G. C. The 21st of February, 2013, A Right to Secrecy Denied, Disabled People and the Secret Vote from, Gordon's D-Zone. Available from, http://gdzone.gordng.com/2013/02/a-right-to-secrecy-deny-disabled_21.html. Copyright 2013-15 Gordon C. Cardona. Users can freely share the content found on this blog as long as the original version is kept intact and that the source is acknowledged. More content by Gordon is available from his website located at http://www.gordongt.com. Note: the article you just listened to was originally published on the blog Gordon's D-Zone on Thursday, the 21st of February, 2013 and is available at http://gdzone.gordongt.com/2013/02/a-right-to-secrecy-denied-disabled_21.html.
You can get in touch with Gordon by emailing him at zonemind.starchild@gmail.com. Kindly make sure you include the word boo in your mail.
For more content by Gordon, please visit http://www.gordongd.com. Thanks for listening. GordonGD.com is now on Facebook. Visit www.gordongd.com to get started.